Hey everybody, welcome to another episode, edition of Ed and Ken Mini Podcast. We are super excited for today's show. We're going to get in some hot topics, at least one that's recently been in the news that I think is going to be relative. But before we do, I want to say hi to Ed. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited. It's starting to get a little cool down here. And you know what that means?
You can't wear shorts every day? I don't know. What does that mean?
No, it means I get to wear my Princeton Mortgage vest.
Oh, yeah. The vest. I love the vest.
Styling, man.
I got the three-quarter zip. I got the vest. I actually had two three-quarter zips. I got the vest. I got the zip-up sweater. Listen, I got a whole closet full of Princeton stuff. If I'm not wearing my daughter's softball logo, I'm wearing a Princeton logo, usually, wherever I go.
Yeah, I love it. And what I like about it is it fits so well that I can, and it's thin, but it's warm. I forget what it's made out of. It's great quality. But I can wear like a short sleeve shirt with it, and it doesn't look like I'm wearing a vest in a way.
How about this? The first three people that text Ed Fordyce, if you're listening and you text Ed and say, Ed, I want a Princeton sweater, I'll buy the first three people. Now, no cheating. Don't go calling people and say, hey, text me that you want a Princeton sweater. Let's see if anybody's listening to the show. And if we get three people, then that would be a huge win. How's that?
That's it. I was going to give out my number, but all they have to do is Google me. But it has to be a text. I want a Princeton sweater.
All right. That sounds good. Give me your number anyway.
6-1. I was so tempted to do something sarcastic that would get us canceled. 610-246-6852. 610-246-6852.
Most of us are old enough to remember what 1-900 meant.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. It sounds like something deep and dark and weird and creepy.
Sure. Yeah. Only kids in Upper Darby did it, right? And first and foremost, I'm sure, again, all the people that love you, all the people that don't get a chance to talk to you every day. How are you feeling? How's it going? Where are we at?
I feel awesome. Had a great chat with my doctor. There's a less than 2% chance that my cellular confusion has spread anywhere else. So I'm in good shape there. I have a PET scan in 10 days and then a follow-up with him, I think, on the 24th. And then I'll put the plan in place of what I'm doing. But until then, I'm doing all kinds of holistic stuff. I feel good. I feel strong. I'm at the gym every day, still doing my thing. So time to rock and roll, baby. I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, I love it. So today we're going to get into a topic, but before we do, it's going to be irrelevant. I want you to share with me the text that you sent to your kids today. You had mentioned that you sent them a text.
Yep. Every morning I send my kids a text.
I love that.
I don't know how long this has been going on. A long time. Oh, well over a decade. But the text I sent them this morning was, faith and fear both ask you to believe in something you can't see. The one you choose writes your future. I'll say that again real quick. Faith and fear both ask you to believe in something you can't see. The one you choose writes your future. That's powerful, boy.
That is incredibly powerful. And, you know, from my perspective, you know, the things that I always try and tell my kids is, you know, control the conversation that you're having with yourself, or at least be aware of the conversation that you're having with yourself. And once you're aware of it, you can ask yourself, hey, is this conversation coming from a place of fear? And if it is, change the conversation, because you can't predict the future. And if you're gonna, might as well predict something good, because either way, it's made up.
Yeah.
Right? So I love that, man. And that's why I predict that your PET scan's gonna go miraculously well. That's what I predict as well. I already know it.
They're going to be like, wait, there is nothing in you. Who told you you had the cellular confusion thing?
And I love that cellular confusion thing, man. I am going to start using that. You should trademark it too, by the way. Hopefully maybe this counts as documentation.
Sounds good to me. Yeah.
All right. Let's get into another place of fear. Real estate agents, we are all always in some level of fear. There's always a new threat. There's always a new thing that's going to take us down and change the industry. And who knows? Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. You know, I had a great conversation with a book club group that I'm running with Clay at Princeton. Clay Duncan, if you guys don't know him, go follow him on Instagram. He's awesome. And we're reading The AI Edge by Jeb Blunt. He's a huge sales, you know, guru who also is using his platform to kind of bring AI into sales. And he talks about adopt versus adapt. And I think that from an AI standpoint, you know, you can either adopt it, make your life easier. That's the short run benefit. Or you can adapt, change the way you do business utilizing AI, and that's the long run benefit, the long vision. But who else but Zillow has bought in, and now Zillow is choosing to adapt and adopt with their agreement with ChatGPT. And basically what that means is that Zillow and ChatGPT now have an agreement where the borrowers or the buyers can now search within ChatGPT, making ChatGPT essentially a robust, reasoning, thoughtful research tool for buyers, where they can look through, they could search listings, they can search pictures, they can pull up pictures, they can do comparisons, they can do all kinds of stuff. No doubt, great move on Zillow's part. I think it's going to be an incredibly powerful tool. But is this the beginning of the end for the traditional real estate agent client relationship? How many times have we heard that, though? In all honesty, is this the end of the real estate agent client relationship? This is no different, but I want your perspective on it, Ed.
I saw this news come out yesterday, and I didn't look into it at all. My first thought is, personally, I want to get rid of all MLSs. Okay. I love the generalization of this could be the MLS.
Maybe the end of the MLS, but not the end of the agent.
I want to get rid of NAR.
Hot take.
I want to get rid of it all.
Yeah, just complete decentralization.
Totally. There's many reasons for that. I won't go down, but it's literally, I remember I was licensed like 4 months and I'm like, why do you want me to pay this? Oh, well, they represent you at the local and that. And I'm like, that sounds like a political hack to me and I'm not really buying into it. So until you can pinpoint something that it actually has done for me, I'm not buying into it. And I never have. So that's just me. That's the rebel side of me. Just the way I've always been. But it's time. It gives us time to innovate now. I love when this happens. And I will look at it and I will start training and teaching my tribe how to educate their sphere of influence, how to use it to their advantage. We can't stop it. And, you know, when we look at most of Europe, dude, you don't even have to be licensed to sell real estate in Europe.
Do you think that's a good thing?
I don't know. Probably not. But, and again, you always get the brutal truth from me. If we lined up 100 agents, and let's just talk about Pennsylvania, and I asked a very simple question about the agreement of sale, I'll bet you 90 out of 100 would get it wrong.
You already know the question?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So what about the idea that the FDA, now I know the FDA might be controversial, but there's a certain level of expectation on behalf of the consumer that, for instance, financial advisors, fiduciaries, doctors, lawyers, where you have to assume that because you're in that seat, that you've met a minimum requirement to be there, right? Mm-hmm. And that I don't have to go down and research your life history and ask for a resume to prove to me that you've met the minimum requirements. And I think that that's why the licensing piece is important. In the mortgage business, before 2008, you didn't need a mortgage license. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry could be a loan officer, and look what it got us. It got us a bunch of unprofessional people, unethical people, people who didn't have the threat of having their license taken away to prevent them from doing stupid shit, right? Yeah. So I do think that the licensed piece is important. But I also think that being in that seat also means, like this ChatGPT Zillow thing, that they have to know that you know how to navigate what technology is out there, and that you've adapted in your business to accept the technology that's out there. I don't know. You might have been the one that said this, Ed. Realtors, borrowers search, buyers search, realtors do research, right? And I think that that's an area where you can still differentiate yourself, even with the ChatGPT tools, right? Junk in, junk out. Do you even know what questions to ask? Knowing the questions to ask, knowing how to prompt engineer, knowing what prompts to put in there, you would agree, changes the game when it comes to whether or not ChatGPT is effective. So with buyers, they still don't always know what questions to even ask, let alone whether or not the information they're getting is relevant to them. So if I'm a real estate agent, I'm thinking to myself, okay, great. I need to know how these tools work. I need to know what the advantage is. I also need to know where these tools fall short so I can fill that spot. And I'm going to continue to do the research to make sure that the house or the situation that we're putting you in, it meets your short-term and your long-term goals. So I don't know that it's a threat. I think it's going to be super cool as a home buyer to be able to use ChatGPT with the Zillow functionality, but I don't know how big of a threat that it's going to be to the adapted realtor.
I know one thing that the consumer right now is not talking at the dinner table. Like, did you see the news that, you know, Zillow partnered with ChatGPT and now like they're not doing it. Number two, it's like, I'm sitting here thinking, because again, I didn't read any of it. I just sort of saw and I was like, another thing to be dramatized. What's the difference between Zillow partnering with ChatGPT and Zillow just being Zillow? I'm like, what is there a difference?
I guess it's just the starting point, right? And who knows? Maybe when the functionality is out there, it's fully functional. Maybe you'll be able to ask, you know, compare these two houses and tell me what you think I should offer, right? But again, if you're an agent, then you're going to have your perspective built into that. And I just don't think that a robot is going to have the same level of, you know, emotional intelligence, technical intelligence. They'll have the artificial intelligence, but you have to be there to read the borrower, understand what they're really looking for, and kind of peek around corners way better than technology ever will.
What you just said is why we will always be around. It is, we are masters at reducing risk for buyers and sellers. And that's something that just won't go away. However, the standards they've needed to be raised for so long now. And there's just no, I've always said that the biggest code of ethics violation is the real estate industry itself. Because I'm guessing that the consumer says, oh, this person has a real estate license from the state of Florida, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, wherever. They must have met the criteria.
Yeah, the minimum requirements, right?
To have a license. When the reality is, I can go from being a bar owner to taking some classes over a weekend, passing a test. Any broker is going to hire me. There is no interview process. And legally list and sell One Liberty Place in Philadelphia.
Legally.
Legally.
The barriers to entry are very low. Yes, I agree. I think the consumers are, we give them more, I don't know if we're giving them enough credit. The consumer, look, if you're just breaking into the industry, I get it. It's hard. Where's your credibility? You're going to have to utilize abstract, you know, evidence that you are going to be the best person for that job. That's just how the industry works. Being a bar owner actually lends itself very well to being a real estate agent. And I think that the soft skills that you practice, that you learn in being a bar owner and a business owner translate tremendously to being a real estate agent. Now, maybe if you were a mechanic, it might be harder to translate those skills into the real estate industry. But young agents can utilize their technology absorption. You know, they can, you know, utilize things that maybe agents that have been in the business 20, 30 years are not doing to gain the competitive advantage. And then once you have some scars, once you have some evidence under your belt, you really kind of lean on it as much as possible. Which brings us to, yes, the barriers to entry are low, but so are the barriers or the things that help you stay relevant. That's not easy. Staying relevant is as hard as breaking into the industry. It's just coming from two different directions, right? You got an agent who's been in the business 30 years that's not using AI, and you have an agent that's been in the business a week that's leaning into AI and their previous selling. They're on a collision course on the same spectrum. So where that brings us to, what are the ramifications for agents that are not leaning into AI right now?
Well, it depends what they're using it for. AI is here to make our businesses and our lives. So this is what I would say. My question to any agent or really any professional is, are you using AI, ChatGPT, as an employee? Like it's part of your staff. If not, then you're probably not really using it correctly.
Yeah,
you know, and most importantly, it blows my mind how many professionals haven't done this. In order for that technology, that AI to really help you, it needs to know you.
Yes.
And if you haven't done the prompt, you know, hey, chat, I want you to get to know me both intimately, both personally and professionally. Ask me every question you need to ask me in order to get to know me really well, intimately, both personally and professionally. No question is off limits. Ask me every question you need to know. It asks you between 24 and 32 questions, gets to know your past, your strengths, your whatever, everything. And then it can guide you through that. So I know real estate agents right now who are masters at teaching AI, and they've sold two houses in the last year. We have to be real careful of thinking that AI is going to do our jobs for us. It's not. We are one thing that'll never change, Ken, is that we're human beings. And that's why with AI and technology, it's helping us innovate, going, well, wait a minute, how do I do this better? How do I do it better? So we have this iPhone thing, and usually we text each other. If you want to make a difference in your sphere of influence, forget texting. Video text. Audio text. That will beat the pants off of ChatGPT all day long.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And at the end of the day, the human aspect, people, there's no accountability in ChatGPT's recommendation gone wrong, right? So you think that, and it brings us full circle now back to the original question, is the Zillow ChatGPT a disruptor that's going to replace the real estate agent? No, because at the end of the day, when you're making the biggest, largest, most of the time largest, and emotionally most emotionally charged transaction of your life. You want to be able to look someone in the eye to determine whether or not what they're telling you is good advice or bad advice, and if you can trust them. Because at the end of the day, ChatGPT is not going to say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you should offer 535 on this house and don't go a penny more. And then you lose because you could have won at 536. ChatGPT is not going to say, oh man, I'm really sorry. Because they don't, the robot doesn't care. But an agent is going to be able to see those nuances and advise on that. And they're going to be able to stand behind it from an accountability standpoint. So you're right. The human connection. Leave voice memos, video messages, 100% open rate. And rely on the fact that you will be the one that's held accountable for the recommendations. And that's a good thing.
Absolutely, man. Piece of cake.
This is a good one, man.
Yeah.
All right. So I am here. My recommendation, my action item is go buy and read AI Edge by the guy who wrote Fanatical Prospecting, which is also a decent book. It's Fanatical Prospecting with the AI Edge, Jeb Blunt. Also a good book. But it's a good one. I'm about a third of the way through. We're doing a book club. Find a book club. Find three people to want to read it with you. It's great conversation stuff. I highly recommend it. AI Edge. And if you can, find a couple people that want to read it with you.
Something, and this popped into my brain now. I did a Facebook Live on my way home from the gym this morning. I want to help 20 agents in our markets, whether it's the Gulf Coast of Florida or it's Chester County, Delaware County. I know I can help 20 agents who aren't making $100,000 a year. I'm going to do a 6-month coaching subscription with them. So I want them, whoever's listening to this, that is not making $100,000 a year. By the way, it's one house a month that you have to sell in our markets. I know I can help at least 20 agents do that. So I will look at my stuff. I'm going to put a subscription up somewhere. I want to do that. Everyone deserves to be earning $100,000 a year or more. Do you agree with that?
I agree 100%. I think that it's a matter of knowing what actions to take and when to take them. And that comes from experience. And that's what you have. And I think that, you know, to know and to not do is to not know. That's something we've said many, many times. So if you're not doing it, you don't know why you're not doing it. I think that sitting with you, in fact, I'm going to up it. If anybody does sign up with Ed for the 6-month coaching, if you're here at minute 22:45, God bless you. I'm going to throw in another 3/4 zip Princeton sweatshirt. If they sign up with you due to this, we'll call it coupon code KJ. There you go.
And I love the AI Edge, man. Jeb Blunt, I remember reading his stuff years ago. I'm going to check that out.
He partnered up with someone on this one, and I can't remember the guy's name. But again, so far, so good. We're in the early stages. And it's great for people who even aren't 100% like still not really understanding the whole AI thing. They take it a little bit slow, but not so slow that you won't get anything out of it if you've already been doing it for a year. So very good so far.
Cool. Great stuff, brother.
All right, Ed, enjoy your week. Have no fear. Have faith, my friend.
That's it.